This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
You're listening to Betting Weekly Syria on the BetRivers Network.
Well, hello and welcome to the Betting Weekly Serie A podcast brought to you in association with BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook, week six in Serie A. Freelance Italian football journalist Daniele Fisichella is along myself, Dan Roebuck, as we hope to identify the best bets this weekend. It was another profitable week last week. Obviously, we record pretty early. The prices can change. You might be able to squeeze a little bit more value out of it. Always keep across the BetRivers website for all the market moves because they do change throughout the week and you can maybe spy some value a little bit earlier, a little bit later, depends on team news and so on. We're going to kick off, Daniele, with an intriguing clash on Friday night. Salernitana, who've drawn four of their six games this season against Lecce. I would imagine that Salernitana supporters and indeed backers for that matter are still trying to get over, still trying to process what happened with Juventus last week. I mean, they were plus 660, plus 670 to beat Juve, which wasn't the biggest price, really. But 2-0 up, you think you're going to get your job, John. If you're betting in play on that one, oh my word. That was an extraordinary finish, wasn't it?
Yeah, everything happened. And it was a chaotic finish in the end, 2-2. Fair result, I would say, because I think Salernitana for 65 minutes, they were by far the better team and much better organized than Juventus. But in the end, a Milik goal, of course, should have stood. You know, VAR simply didn't have the image of the wide, you know. Anyway,
it's incredible, isn't it? I mean, I saw it and thought, well, what's the issue here? It's offside. It's tight. It's close. It's unlucky, but it's offside. And then the image emerges later.
And they just said the explanation. Yeah, the explanation is even worse than the mistake. But let's move on. I think Salernitana they're in a really good form, but so are Lecce for this one. And I think they both come quite confident. So the tip here, it's both to score, which pays -143. Okay, Salernitana only lost two of the last 14 Serie A games. Only Milan and Napoli have lost less games in the same amount of space. But you know, it's not that they won them all. They drawn 7 out of the last 11. So a bit of a master of draws. But nonetheless, the draw at the Allianz Stadium, it was a great display of organization. They all knew what to do. They had clear ideas. And you can see the difference between a team that is well-managed, well-drilled, when everyone stuck to the tasks, Salernitana, and a team like Juventus that is a bit lost, a bit disjointed. And, you know, individual performances, we can pick many from the game at Torino. Dia, Vilegna, Mazzocchi, they were absolutely superb. In the second half, they backed off a little bit and, you know, a little bit of a small team syndrome, if you like. But things, signs are good for Salernitana. 7 points already in the season. Last year, it took them 10 games to reach the same milestone. They score more. They score 9 opposed to 4 to what they scored last season at this stage. And they concede less than half. Concede 6. Last year, they were leaking goals left, right and center. They were conceding already 15. So they are much more tight compact. Credit, of course, to Davide Nicola, one of the best escapologists, you know, escape artist in Serie A. He manages to save teams that seem to be absolutely doomed. First time they meet in Serie A, by the way, Salernitana and Lecce, a bit of a derby of the South. Lecce 1-1 against Monza the weekend. They should be aggrieved because they didn't have a stonewall penalty in the second half. There is a clear hand from Pablo Marie. I don't know what the bar was looking at. No clean sheet so far for Lecce, but they play a positive football. They got very good front three, especially Banda, Sisse, Strefezza is still out, but Di Francesco is replacing him very well. I do like Lecce both to score. I think they're both going to be on the score sheet. This is a Friday evening game, by the way.
-143, if you're playing both teams to score, Salernitana against Lecce, kicks off the Serie A weekend. Let's talk about Inter there, away at Udinese. Inter, our favourites here, -112. Udinese have started the season well, let's not forget about that. Inter, they were under a bit of pressure heading into that game against Torino. Danny, you were texting me as I was on duty for UK, and you said, look, it's not pretty, but it's a win for Inter. And although they're a little bit better in the Czech Republic against the Czech champions, Victoria, again, they're workmanlike, but getting the job done at the minute, maybe.
They do need a string of victories, I think, to pick themselves up. It's a very moody team sometimes, Inter, and they do need to win a few games in a row to just have a little bit more of confidence. But what is a little bit concerning, and we saw them also in the game against Victoria Plzeň, is the lack of physical condition. It was too easy against Inter, against the Czech champions. They dominated the possession, but they moved the ball ever so slowly. And I think only scoring two in such a tight group in the Champions League, where the goal difference could be so important, it could be a mistake. But, you know, job done. So they did against Torino. Best man on the pitch, Handanovic. He made 7 saves. Torino didn't deserve to lose one. But then Inter got the individual moment of brilliance, the assist from Barella, the goal from Brozovic, and that's how they win the game. Back-to-back clean sheet for Inter, first time this season. The positive news, Skriniar, Bastoni, Brozovic, I think they are improving. Inzaghi in the Champions League, he made the right rotation. He started Acerbi for the first time, had a good game, and he started Zeko, of course. He scored again in the Champions League. The problem with Inter, I think, still lies on the wing-backs. Dumfries is still not the finished product. He does normally two things good and one bad. And whereas on the left-hand side, there is a massive hole because Paris is left and they really don't know how to replace him because Gosens is not himself. So the positive news is that Lautaro rested a little bit in midweek. So he's going to be fully fit. Lukaku still not there. But I think they're going to struggle here, Inter, unless initially, because they play one of the fittest teams in Serie A. So my first tip is Asian handicap for Udinese, 0 in the first half, which plays very, very well, plus 155. Obviously, Udinese had a week to prepare for this game.
Okay, that's first tip. And you like both teams to score as well?
I do like both teams to score, which is minus 167, because Udinese, as I said, come in very good form. They got 13 points. They scored the same number of goals as Inter, 12. And, you know, this is a team that not only is very fit, they run a lot, they are very physical, but now they're keeping the ball really well. Last weekend, they were the second team for percentages of passes completed, 89% when they traveled to Sassuolo, and top for ball possession. So it's not just smash and grab. I know they score late, but they're really moving the ball well. And now, you know, what's the secret of Udinese? Is they got experienced players, a lot of players who've been given a second chance. Well, most of them, they play for Watford anyway. So, I mean, that helps. When you got the same owner, it does help. But, you know, the likes of De Lofeo, the likes of Pereira, the likes of Masina, is a second chance for them. And then they go young players. The last year, they were too raw, but now they're shining. The likes of Samardzic, they got Lovric as well. Beto score again, a brace coming from the bench. So it is a very good mixture of players, well coached. Now what they take in is the organization they always had with a 3-5-2 across the years, and now they're just moving a step forward in the right direction. They're a little bit more attacking with Sotil. So I think, yeah, both to score. It could be a high scoring game. Inter will, if they want to get the 3 points left to get in the score sheet, at least twice, I feel.
Let's move on to the Sunday games. We've mentioned Juventus already in passing after that extraordinary game against Salernitana. Maybe just before we get into Juve, start with Monza here. I guess it's no real surprise that Giovanni Stropper has gone here because he was always going to be under pressure if they didn't start well, and they haven't started well, have they? Well, plus 350 here, Juve minus 118. But I mean, what's going on at Monza at the moment?
Well,
this is no surprise, I guess.
Silvio Berlusconi had enough. He said, well, look, I'm going to take things in my hands, you know, old style when he used to manage Milan. So sacked Stroppa, who he was full of praise, Berlusconi and Stroppa, at the beginning of the season, but the results didn't come. The thing is that they had such a big transfer window. They brought so many good players, so many experienced players, and they only got 2 points in the table, and it's not enough. They're not producing the attacking football they were expecting. And I think it's not just a question of adapting to the Serie A. It's also about they're not really performing, despite the quality being there. They were bottom quantum for top chances created last weekend. Only one, they scored from a great free kick from Sensi, but apart from that, they could have probably lost against Lecce. They are the worst Serie A attack, only three goals scored. And now comes a relatively inexperienced manager, Palladino, former Juventus player as well, who's been trusted to pick this team up. Look, I think they do have the quality, but they need to start performing. Otherwise, they're going to be in big trouble. And if you remember, at the beginning of the season, they were not tipped for relegation, actually. Of the three newly promoted teams, they were considered by many the one less likely to get relegated. And now this is a tough game against Juventus as well.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Just speaking on the managers, Marcus, as well, I'm just having a glance at the BetRivers website here because Allegri's plus 200 to be the next manager to go. How much pressure is he under after not getting the win against Salernitana? It was very, very close to getting that win. Obviously, we know should have won it. But then, of course, in midweek, look, Benfica were the better side. Benfica totally deserved to win, didn't they, in Turin?
Totally, totally. And I think maybe what we see in the games is just the tip of the iceberg. Juventus not performing. Things are not right. This summer, they got all the players that Allegri wanted and they're not getting the results. So how likely is to be sacked? I think for this season, Dan, he's unsackable because he's on 9 million euro per year. He's got a two-year contract. Where are Juventus going to find the money to hire Thomas Tuchel, for example? And he's been chosen by the president, Agnelli, so they are in good terms. So I think Juventus supporters, they have to be stuck with Allegri, I think, until the end of the season. But after an embarrassing first half against Salernitana with no ideas, things did not get better against Benfica. Look, the second half against Salernitana, Juventus had a reaction of hunger, but not really with a lot of cool head. They should have won it. You know, we thought about the VAR, but that's not the point. You shouldn't be 2-0 against Salernitana at home, producing so few shots, not creating. You know, they seem to be lost in midfield and everything is on the shoulders of the young Miretti, which is brilliant, I think, but he cannot do everything by himself. Also, very few players in the Juventus camp are able to go 1-1. They haven't got the courage. Maybe they don't have the support. But, you know, you would expect players like Kostic or the same Vlahovic as well to try a little bit more. So they tried almost to pass on the responsibilities. There is a big alibi for Allegri, though, is that he's without probably his best players. Chiesa is going to be back at the end of October. He's without Pogba. He's been without Di Maria. He's without Rabiot, without Szczesny. For this one, he's not going to have Milik and Cuadrado suspended. But as other people may notice, neither Salernitana had Pogba, Chiesa, Di Maria, Rabiot, and they were brilliant. So you could actually master a good game even without them. So what is Allegri going to do? Is he going to manage the short time and maybe wait for January where all the big guns come back? It's going to be a different outlet. How far Juventus are going to be from the top of the league then? Anyway, enough of these tips. Win. Juventus win. They pay so well for a Juventus side. They're going to a struggling Monza side. He pays really well on BetRivers for them to win. So I'm going to trust them, but I'm going to back it with a under 4.5 goals because Juventus are not a high scoring team. And that pays plus 110.
Plus 110. I think this is a really good bet. I mean, I think you're right. I think that Juve just to win is probably a good bet. They've got to have a reaction here, but that's minus 118. Plus 110, you get a little bit more from it. Let's not forget as well, Juve, they're still unbeaten in Serie A, one of only four teams yet to live. I mean, it seems crazy, but obviously the Champions League and the what happened at Salernitana, and there's always such a focus. I think this is a really good bet. Juventus to win, under 4.5 goals, plus 110. No Milik, as Danny was pointing out. Two more games on Sunday to take a look at. Roma against Atalanta. We are recording ahead of Roma's game in the Europa League. Atalanta not involved in Europe this season. They're going to be hoping to take advantage of just doing some stats from last season. I think it's 7 times they failed to win after European action last week. Now, sometimes that can be skewed a little because if they're comfortable in their league position and they're just focusing on Europe, then obviously teams and rotation can happen. But even so, this is a good opportunity for Atalanta to get a good result, a good performance here, Daniele, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think Atalanta have had a good start. Actually, they've never done better after six games in Serie A. They've only conceded three goals, so the best defense so far. This is another record. Who would have thought Atalanta's Gasperina were so watertight at the back? But the thing with Atalanta is that Gasperini is changing the way they're playing. They are not taking many risks this year. They are not pushing all the time forward. They're trying to play with a line that's a little bit more conservative, if you like. Because I think Gasperini deep down thinks this team is not clicking yet, especially when they move the ball from the defense to the midfield. It's not as fluid as we used to see in the previous year. And there is a lack of creativity up front now, especially with either Muriel or Zapata out injured. Malinowski is a little bit hit and miss. Again, I don't think they ever replace Papu Gomez when the left for Sevilla. So perhaps now Gasperini is thinking, okay, let's better try not to concede and we're always going to squeeze a goal. But that's why we see a different Atalanta. But for this one, considering Roma's got, okay, the midweek game against Helsinki should be easy, a comfortable win for them. But I think Atalanta going to keep it tight there. And my tip here is it pays really well. I think Atalanta at Asian handicap zero in the first half, plus 128. That means Atalanta wins the first half. You win your stake, they draw, you get your money back. Because I think historically Roma has always struggled against top teams, if you like, and you know, against Juventus they have another great game, but they picked themselves up after the defeat of Udine. Dybala, great form, three goals, two assists, man of the match against Empoli. They created a lot of chances against Empoli. Roma, they hit the post twice, so they are top already in terms of post hit, six times, same as last year. They finished top in the special category, but they also sometimes leave themselves exposed. So also the oppositions of Roma have hit the post or the bar five times so far in the league, so they can call them a little bit lucky. So it seems to me that it is working up to a point, but every time they create a chance, they almost have to concede a chance straight after. Looks like they have not absorbed Dybala yet in their system. They seem a little bit more unbalanced. Nonetheless, the Argentine is playing really well. But, you know, good signs after two bad defeats for Roma. For this one, though, I'm going to be cautious. I think Atalanta could stifle Roma a little bit in the first half. So Asian handicap zero in the first half, plus 128.
Looking for Atalanta to start well against Roma after Roma's action in Europe on Thursday night. Game of the weekend, Milan against Napoli. This is third hosting first going into the weekend. Obviously, it could change by the time that these two teams kick off. Atalanta could be top of the table, could be Roma, could be Udinese, who knows. But in terms of this game, I thought Milan were good in midweek in the Champions League. Napoli was a strange one, wasn't it, against Rangers. On the face of it, 3-0, the biggest ever Champions League away win, is impressive. But obviously, James Sam was sent off. And then we had this extraordinary situation with Zielinski missing penalties left, right and the centre and McGregor saving penalties. But they got the job done in the end. I mean, they were both winners in midweek. Danny, how do you assess the big game of the weekend?
Well, I think this is a big game that unfortunately will be without the two best players, which are Osimhen and Leao. Osimhen is injured, Leao is suspended. And these are the two teams that have scored the most in Serie A. And they come from difficult games at the midweek for different reasons. So my tip here would be, I go, it's a bit counterintuitive, under 2.75 goals, minus 148. So if there are only three goals, you lose half your stake. And why? Because I think Milan has got the best team spirit, the best organization in Serie A. They are always able to pick themselves up, even when they're in difficult circumstances. We saw that Genoa against Sampdoria, down to 10 men, they managed to win. We saw them in the derby. We saw them in Salzburg as well. Against Dinamo Zagreb, I think they accused a little bit of fatigue in the first half. They played a very organized team, the Croats. And what happened is that because Milan is not making many rotations up front, especially because of the injuries, Origi's injured, Rebic is injured, Ibrahimovic is injured, the Catalari is in and out. It's always the same players playing. It takes them a little bit time to click. I think Leao then did the best in the second part of the game when also the Croat defense was a little bit more tired. And now they play a very strong defense in Napoli. So they might have their issues there. But yeah, we know that Milan, even if they go behind, no matter, they can actually go back into the game. I'd like to see perhaps a little bit more flair in Milan midfield. It would be interesting maybe to see De Ketelaere playing alongside Tonali, seeing Adli as well. I wonder whether Pioli could change the system a little bit, but I don't know, because you know the two fullbacks are working so well and they're not proper wingbacks, so probably stuck to a back three. When it comes to Napoli, I mean, it was an example of maturity. They showed how improved they were. Before the game against Rangers, I read the stats, they never won a back-to-back Champions League game since 2016, and now they did it. So I think now the perspective on Napoli internationally has completely changed, no matter because you beat two British teams, but because you beat the vice champions last year. And, you know, what I like about Napoli is that they didn't play the Rangers game. They didn't go toe-to-toe, high-intensity, high-line, making it a little bit scrappy, because I think if it was a chaotic game, they would have lost. Instead, they kept it calm, they stuck to the guns, better technical ability, and in the second half, the goals came. So yeah, another good individual performances by many Napoli players, most of all Lobotka and Zielinski. They do create chances, they do score goals, they score eight different scorers in Serie A. Again, the issue is rotations here, and you know, two big defenses as well. Who's going to play up front? Is Raspadori? Is going to be Simeone? I can't see many goals on this one. I think this could be the typical cagey affair, especially in the first 65 minutes or so. So I'm going to go for under 2.75 goals. It's minus 148.
Last six meetings at San Siro in all competitions have been under 2.5 as well. Yeah. A little bit cautious here with minus 148 at 2.75. That means, as Danny Yelly was pointing out, that if it is three, you get half your stake back, isn't it? With three, is that the situation? I think it is, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
One more game to look at, just from a personal point of view, because I'm on Spezia Sampdoria for TV in the UK. It looks, I've not started my research yet, but it looks like a bit of a relegation 6-pointer. We've talked about Samp quite a lot this season already. Anything that I should be looking out for in this game, Daniel?
Well, they gave you the derby. So, I mean, it's a Ligurian derby. So I think it's a good game. And normally, Spezia negotiate this game well. They are unbeaten in 8 of the last 10 Ligurian derbies. And actually, last year, they both won against Sampdoria and Genoa 1-0. I mean, I would be surprised if you have to shout a lot of goals or a lot of chances, because Spezia are bottom for shots on target in Serie A. Sampdoria are a third from bottom. They are not living the best moments. Spezia are winless in 5, no clean sheets in 5. Sampdoria, worst Serie A start ever, only 2 points. But, okay, something positive. Sampdoria, maybe they can call themselves unlucky. They hit the post to the bar 6 times in 6 games, so they should deserve a little bit more. But we always said they lack that little bit of fighting spirit. I mean, against 10-man Milan, could they not have hung on to the 1-1? Lot of nervousness as well on the bench, etc. Spezia, normally, they are good against the teams below them. They are unbeaten in the last 7 games when they face a team with less points than them. So normally, they do poorly against the top teams. They don't score. They didn't score against Inter. They didn't score against Napoli. They didn't score against Juventus. Against the small teams, or so-called small teams, they normally scrap it 1-0. So it could be a low-scoring game. It could be an early lead for Spezia, and then they hang on to this. I mean, my lean would be, you have to go on the Asian handicap and give a little bit of an advantage to Sampdoria. So maybe if you go on the Asian handicap 0 for Sampdoria in the second half, you find some good prices. Maybe Sampdoria not losing the second half, but not necessarily a goal fest, I'm afraid, Dan.
Oh, thanks for that, Daniel. I'm looking forward to it even more now. That wraps it up. That's not one of our official tips, but I just thought I'd get Daniele's thoughts on that as we were mentioning it. Daniele, thanks for your company. As per usual, been some really good weeks recently. Hopefully we'll nudge into profit for the season after this weekend. Remind everyone where they can find you on Twitter.
It's at the Fisi.
At DFC for Daniele, I'm at Dan Robe. You can keep in touch with all of the Bet Rivers podcasts over the course of this weekend with at Because We Win. We will not be back next week, will we? Nope. Because we've got the international break, Daniele. So we're 2 weeks away from our next Serie A podcast. So wish you well this weekend, Daniele. Thanks very much. We'll speak again in a fortnight's time.
See you soon. Enjoy. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Betting Weekly Serie A on the Bet Rivers Network.